Welcome to Artists Among Us minisodes from the Whitney Museum of American Art. The following recording is an abbreviated conversation from a public program that took place on July 24th, 2023 at the Whitney between artist Alana Safdi and author Carmen Maria Machado. The talk was moderated by Whitney curator Marcela Guerrero on the occasion of the exhibition Alana Safdi Radical Contractions. To view the artworks referenced in the discussion, please visit whitney.org/AlanaSafdi. Safdi and Machado speak about a range of subjects, including trickery, horror, and the uncanny, fitting topics for the month of October, and how they wield them as forms of resistance.
So I thought that perhaps we could start with kind of a pretty basic question that might be in the minds of everyone, which is, how did the two of you meet? What kind of sparked this moment that we're living here right now? And Ilana, maybe you can start by what attracted you to Carmen's work and how, what prompted the invitation to bring Carmen into the conversation?
I had read In the Dream House and had fallen in love with it and was in the process of working on a series of three paintings for my last show. And I started reading The Husband Stitch, and there was a specific moment in that story that the main character gets what's called the husband stitch, which is an additional stitch given to women against their will. There's a really horrific, very unsettling moment in the story where the doctor just casually goes, "It's nice and tight. Everyone's happy." I was working on these paintings that were dealing with the kind of horror of being almost like in an operating table, or the horror of being in a performative state like that. And so the three paintings were titled after the husband stitch. This one's called Nice and Tight y Todos Felices. The three were titled after that piece. So yeah, so I think from there.
It was just a story that I'd heard from my aunt, who was an OBGYN nurse like many, many years ago. And it was horrifying. And it really stuck with me that husbands would make this joke when women were getting stitched after childbirth. And they would say, like, put an extra stitch in there to like make it tighter. And I was like, well, that's the most horrifying thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And then she's like, oh, yeah, they call it a husband stitch. And I was like, no, that's the most horrifying thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And so I wrote it down. And it's, the story is weird because it's, I call it my hit single. It's the story of mine that like people I think have read the most and referenced the most. It's been really fascinating to see it sort of have this impact in various places. And then of course, to then see it, these phrases kind of pulled out of the unstitched, if you will, from the story, and then like used to sort of think about these like colorful paintings that have these organic, unsettling, uncanny shapes in them was just like a really beautiful and interesting experience to see that transformation, I guess.
At what point did you think, or did you feel, Ilana, that you wanted to delve into aspects of the body?
I think I've always been really drawn to things that delve into both the ideas around like existence and having a body, but just like the audacity of it too, like the offensiveness of having a body and, and the offensiveness of taking up space with it. So a huge point of reference for me has been, I grew up in Barranquilla in Colombia, which is home to where the Carnival of Colombia happens. It's a four-day event where the 4 days before Lent, the entire country basically like comes to Barranquilla and delves into this sort of like complete reversal of social norms. And it's this huge kind of festivity. And I've always been drawn to the Marimonda, which comes from the combination of like a monkey and an elephant, and it behaves like a monkey. And it has this really trickster quality of being like vulgar and perverse and offensive, but also like bringing the kind of joy of the carnival. Like, I've always been drawn to it just in terms of its like uncanny quality. It's very like phallic looking. And it also has this history that I discovered upon researching it, which is it was part of a costume that was meant to mock a kind of like oppressive elite. It mocked politicians. It mocked the upper class. The idea of the trickster as an agent of change has always been really interesting. And the idea of humor as a mode of resistance and as a mode of inversion has always been interesting. And I think I root in it a really queer form of resistance through like exaggerating the body and mimicry as a form of transgression. And so I kind of locate that back into the work.
Another agent that kind of makes an appearance are different parasites. And if you've seen the show, you've seen the protagonist role that one specific parasite has in the show. Do you want to speak to the
idea? I like to find parallels between like the sort of trickster and folklore and kind of behaviors of the parasite just are by nature very trickstery, like the sort of body snatcher kind of aspect of entering into a host and forcing it to change. And this is kind of like the parasite as an agent of change feels like a very kind of trickster quality. So that was always like interesting as a concept. And then just like looking into them visually, there's so many different kinds. But I think something that I've been able to do through them is seduce through color and seduce through texture and force the viewer to look at something that they might not want to look at. In this case, disgusting parasite. There's a word in Spanish, empalagoso, which I think is in English, cloying is the closest maybe, but it's this like excess of sweetness and sugar to the point of disgust. And I think that right in that place, like right before it gets to disgust, is like exactly what I seek in colors. And I think for me in this work, it's become about modes of seduction and finding like a way to kind of draw you in to look at something that isn't quite as beautiful, or quite as pleasant as you might expect.
Can we also talk, you know, going back to something that you mentioned when you were talking about the husband stitch, and that I'm curious about, because I think I see it in both of your works, of these bodies that are kind of unresolved, they're excessive in some ways. How do you see your work expanding those discourses around the body?
I'm thinking about actually an essay that I wrote a few years ago. You know, I was really interested in writing about the fat body and fatness. And so eventually I began to think about fat bodies as volume and fatness as like this expression of you literally demand more space and you literally cleave the air more than somebody who is less fat. And I was finding a lot of references. Like I'd been reading the Shirley Jackson biography from a few years ago. And there was this like really horrible line, not that the biography was wonderful, but the line was a quote from somebody they were interviewing about Shirley Jackson. And the woman was saying, oh, she was so fat, she took up half of the couch, but she was so charming at parties. Like people hardly noticed. Like what if the fatness is like a part of this expression of this artist and this person who existed in the world? And to me, those things feel like very inextricable from each other. And it feels like this way of thinking about bigness, excess, opulence, that is actually like something to be embraced and revered and not like feared and shied away from, whether you're speaking about a piece of art or a piece of writing or a person's body. And then after I wrote that essay, I then wrote 8 Bites, where I was sort of thinking about a woman who gets gastric bypass surgery, loses a bunch of weight. And then this like ghost that is like the body that she lost is like haunting her in her own home. And at some point she like tries to kill it and it's really sad and horrible. And then when she dies many years later, the thing that comes to take her away is the body that she lost. And I feel like there's something to, for me, about like the body that again feels ungovernable. It feels like capitalism resists it and like it insists upon itself and it demands things. And I just find that really beautiful and interesting. And
right. But I do want to say something about 8 Bites, because you had this one line, was
I couldn't make 8 Bites work for my body. So I made my body work for 8 Bites.
Yeah, I think about that line all the time. Like I think sometimes your words come out of my mouth when I try to explain something. So that is one of them. Cause I feel like that, I mean, I come from like Barranquilla, and Colombia in general is like one of the places with like most constricting beauty standards. And there's a lot of talk about like la cirugía, which like the surgery, like just, you know, just get the surgery, just put little boundaries around your organs so that you can like make sense in this space, you know? And I was like, well, I'm just going to make like 10-foot paintings instead. Yeah. You know, it makes me want to make like bigger paintings and take up more space. And then obviously there's moments where we were talking about the audacity of me making these huge paintings and putting them at the Whitney, like, right. How dare I? And then I had these moments of anxiety and stress about it, but at the end of the day, that is the only way that I can understand. Like the paintings are made to the proportions of my own body so that I can use all of my joints to make them, as angry as that makes my joints.
I feel like there's also related discourse to like who gets to write giant fat novels or like books that are like hundreds, like a bajillion pages long. And I love the idea of something that becomes like so big, but you are demanding something because it is also so excellent.